Hey everybody, it's Michelle Fisher and welcome into A View From My Window. As always, I thank you for joining us today. Today we are here with State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Glenda Ritz, who is seeking her second term as superintendent. Prior to her election to the office in 2012, Superintendent Ritz was an educator and library media specialist for 33 years. During that time, she was twice honored as Teacher of the Year, and in 2012, she was one of 155 national board certified teachers in the state of Indiana. She has served as a member of the National Board for Professional Teaching Standards, a board member of the Indiana State Teachers Association, president of the Washington Township Local ISTA Union, and was president of the Washington Township Education Association for 15 years. And also joining us is executive director of the ARC of Indiana, Kim Dotson. Hello, ladies.
Hello. Thank you, Michelle.
You are so welcome. And thank you so much for taking the time to interview with me.
It's my pleasure.
I appreciate you so much. So let's start off with, how did you make the decision to run for state superintendent the first time? And then why run again now?
So really, I ran the first time because of testing. To be very honest, I had a little third grader come into my library and say to me, "Mrs. Ritz, I don't need to check out a book today because I just did well on my reading test." And I said, "What are we doing to the children where they think they don't need to be having the active role of reading all the time as part of their lives, that they might do it for a test?" So I thought, you know, testing has entered our classrooms, and I just need to be sure that I'm doing something about that. So I decided to run for superintendent of public instruction. So here I am, and testing is still one of my goals, and the conversation is robust right now, and we have an ISTEP replacement panel that has been appointed, and hopefully we're going to be moving that conversation forward in a good way for kids.
And talk about that, because K-12 education for students who are receiving public education is critically important because it paves the way for a future life filled with independence. So talk about what your administration will do to ensure that students receive that special education, the resources they need, that testing you were talking about.
So, yeah, that's a great question because, first of all, I'm a licensed special ed teacher. So my entire career has been built around individualizing and programming for children. Mm-hmm. And so with that, that's really my passion on what we do at the Department of Education. So everywhere from I travel 2 to 3 days a week around the state. I make sure that I see programming going on for children. And that lets me know what's out there and what's not out there, to see the equity that's going on, to see the high quality that's supposed to be there, and making sure we're having it student-centered. So with that, one of my, I was visiting a program in which they did not have what they needed for some augmentative communication devices. And I went back to the department and I said, "Look, there shouldn't be anybody around in the state of Indiana that cannot have the funding and the wherewithal to have augmentative communication devices. So if there's anyone that reaches out to the department with an issue with that, I want to know that it gets solved, because it just shouldn't be in today's technology world that we have not found ways for kids to be able to communicate that have difficulties doing that." Mm-hmm. We also have a statewide transition team to be sure that children are transitioning from level to level and beyond. Employment is extremely important for our students, making sure that we have the facilities and the wherewithal to get the training that's needed beyond the high school years. So I'm very invested in individualizing for kids, mm-hmm. Very invested.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about, you know, people with disabilities want to be active in the community, feel valued. So how will you use your office to support and advance issues important to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, their families, teachers, support systems?
Well, the great thing is that being the superintendent, I actually have the Department of Education at my disposal.
Sure.
So we have reorganized the Department of Education to really focus on outreach for school improvement. Mm-hmm. A great deal of the work happens at that grassroots levels right within the communities. So when you reorganize the department and your focus is on what's needed for that individual school, the outreach coordinators know every principal in their region in which they serve. So with that comes the familiarity with the programming that that happens. Mm-hmm. So we can actually monitor what's going on. At the same time, we're providing resources. So it's very important that we always are having an individual student-centered approach to serving children. And that's what the department does. And so we work with a variety of groups to help work with that, including ARC, making sure that we're going to work with all the stakeholders to get what kids need. So we have in-source centers, statewide centers that are around the state. We partner with IU in a variety of partnerships to make sure that those centers are up and running and providing the resources they do. We have many special education task force that crop up and we utilize from time to time, and some ongoing continually, mm-hmm. Making sure that we're hearing what's needed and what can we provide. It's really my philosophy that regarding special education funding, that we have money out there available. Is it being utilized in the proper manner? And are we making sure that the funding is going where it should be going? Mm-hmm. And that's to meet the needs of the children. Sure. So I'm, like I said, I'm serious about that, you know, for all children. But for those that have special needs, we need to make sure that we're having supports put in place to make sure that they can do what they want to do.
And Glenda, you were talking about you travel a lot. So what are the biggest issues facing students and families these days?
So I would say the biggest issue really is access, equity and access. When I go to schools, I see variance in access for all children, to be perfectly honest, not just those with special needs. So technology is one of them. When you go to a school that's got one-to-one devices and then you go to another school that barely has a computer lab that's running where children might get in there once a week, there's great disparity in the learning that's going on. Mm-hmm. But the same happens amongst our students that have special needs. And I want to make sure that those the equity and access to resources is diminished because I don't really care where you go to school or what the zip code is. You are entitled to programming. I hope that the department working with the General Assembly is going to be moving towards what I would call a funding formula that actually looks at the programmatic needs first. So wherever the child goes to school, that funding is programmatic first, and then some money can follow the child. But when you have every penny following the child, actually we're getting more disparity between of our access and our resources. So I just want to make sure programmatic needs are addressed first. And then if you want some money to follow the child as they go from school to school, then that's appropriate. So that's a big issue, I feel, making mm-hmm. sure we have equity and access amongst our children.
And access means qualified teachers. Mm-hmm. And that's a major issue facing schools and students. So how do you, what's your plan in attracting more qualified teachers in the field, and how would that affect special education?
So we do have a teacher shortage, and we have one of the shortage areas is in the area of special education, and that's still a shortage area even at the federal government level where there is loan forgiveness. So first of all, getting the word out that if you're going to become a teacher, you know, get a license in special education. That's exactly what I did when I went into education at the time. There was a shortage of special needs teachers, and so loan forgiveness. And I'm the first to go to school in my family. And so as a result of that, I needed somebody that was going to actually help me financially. Mm-hmm. So that's why I got all loans forgiven. Teaching in special education is the best training I ever got in my life. I am a proponent also of what we call dual licensing, where teachers have a dual license in special education focus as well as general education, because you need to meet the needs of all children. And so you have to be very versed at individualizing instruction. So I formed the Blue Ribbon Commission last year, because we really need to get a handle on our profession and the various things that need to happen within the education system in becoming a teacher, not only to recruit but to retain. Mm-hmm. So we addressed everything from the actual recruitment process to pre-service to induction to career, making sure that we were going to be putting in systematic approaches to making sure we have great teachers. That's, you know, we put that forth in the General Assembly, and it died. It didn't, even though it had bipartisan support, nothing ever came out of that. But as a result, I said, you know what, the work is important. Let's get somebody overseeing it. So the department is overseeing the work now, and we'll be re-engaging the stakeholders to really move things forward in the conversation. And we will be bringing things back to the General Assembly as they're needed to make sure that we always have quality teachers. But I know special education is an area in which we're always in need of great teachers. So we have to make sure that we have a good focus there and get the word out that they're needed and that you can get loan forgiveness, and it greatly enhances the act of actually being a teacher.
Talk about your goals as superintendent this election season.
Well, I hope your listeners actually go to the Department of Education and download Imagine 2020. And so in Imagine 2020, we speak about the programming that we've been putting in place for the last 4 years, but where we're headed. So the three large areas are focused around pre-K. All four-year-olds in the state of Indiana having access to pre-K services, no matter their zip code, no matter where they live. And we can do that for less than 1% of our budget to get started on that and make sure that we're doing what we need to do for our four-year-olds. In my travels 2 to 3 days a week around the state, I also see poverty. We are at 22% poverty in the state. And so the need for pre-K services and having children be ready for kindergarten is becoming more and more important in our state here in Indiana. And then the next area is testing. And it's a huge area. And I really feel that, you know, getting rid of the pass-fail test and going to a growth approach is going to just be so positive for children because they can see what they do over a course of a year, minimizing the testing, not having that high stakes at the pass-fail approach, and really knowing where children are and moving them where they can continually need to go. So, again, that's an individualized approach. I am talking about an individualized testing approach to that. Not all kids taking the same questions at the same time and in the same manner, but rather really individualizing, making sure that kids have the adaptations that they need in order to take the assessment, that it levels itself according to the child, and we actually have real good learning and teaching information right at our fingertips, letting teachers and educators and parents and families and the students themselves see that information regarding their own learning, almost instantaneously, and moving forward with that kind of approach. So I'm very excited about about moving that conversation forward, and it's a really big topic in the state of Indiana. And then the last portion is really around the high school years, the middle and high school years, making sure that kids have access to career opportunities, and that might include the introductory course to careers. We have a 95% graduation rate of students that actually experience even just the introductory course to careers, just knowing what's out there, gets them focused on their schoolwork and, you know, what is it I'm doing this for and where can it lead me, what kind of training and education am I going to need when I leave high school? Mm-hmm. Because there's virtually not a job out there that you don't need more training and more education to do if you want to earn a good wage. So that's really our large areas of focus. And we have three what I call strategy areas with a lot of strategy activities to do within those under equity and high quality and student-centered focus, making sure that we're going to meet those individual needs.
Glenda, thank you for being here, and thank you for taking the time.
It was my pleasure, Michelle. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being with us today and sharing your thoughts with our listeners as part of the ARC's efforts to educate voters about candidates for the state office and upcoming elections on November 8th. To learn more about voter registration and your right to vote, visit Indiana Disability Rights at www.in.gov/IDR and the ARC of Indiana at www.arcind.org. Thank you so much for listening today, everybody. Have a great day today. Bye-bye.